Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, how we doing, bud?
Doing all right, James. Thank you for asking. It's another lovely Tuesday. If you didn't know this already, the full moon is tomorrow, and I can tell you from working in a medical office that when the full moon comes out, the crazies come out as well. So it's been a little hectic around the office, but looking forward to talking some football, unwinding a little bit, discussing the trade deadline, which was earlier today. Get you in the know with the people that are on the move. There are like three out of the entirety of the NFL for offensive players. And we got to prep for week 10. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of matchups to get through, James. But first, let me hear how you are doing tonight.
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking. Thinking about where we are in the fantasy football season. Once the numbers hit double digits, we start to approach the playoffs. And hopefully everybody's teams are in good standing. Hopefully you've got a winning record and are moving towards a favorable playoff position. If you are not, this is the time that you also need to be making moves that put you in a position to make the playoffs, just like all of these NFL teams did today with the trade deadline here. This is when you need to be making your moves, too, because I'm guessing your trade deadline is probably within the next week or two. At least for most leagues, it probably is. But this is when you need to start going. So, Stu, I had kind of a question I thought that I would want to pose to you before we get into our normal stuff here. And that is, when do you start planning for the playoffs? Is it something that you take into account as you draft, looking at matchups for those week ups 15, 16, 17? Or are you planning to start getting the right guys a little later on when you know which teams are the ones you need to look for matchups for?
Yeah, you got to have at least 2 months out of season, so not before week eight do I really start thinking about those sorts of things. So it's not at the draft. I don't draft based on fantasy playoffs. It's way too hit or miss. Like, you just got to pick the players that you think are going to be the best in the draft. As far as now, of course, we should be thinking about these sorts of things. It does kind of vary. You can make trades based on the playoff schedule, and that's a perfectly fine thing to do. A lot of casual fantasy football players are not going to be thinking that way. But for myself, who plays in more, I don't know if we can call our league like professionally minded. It's not really professional, but they pay attention to things, and they're a little more closed fists on their assets that are going to be better later on in the season. So more often am I looking at people of streaming categories and looking at the playoff schedule then. So like defenses, perhaps kickers or quarterbacks, things like that, James. I don't know how you feel about that sort of thing. What do you like to do?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it during the draft, but you really can't apply it much because I think for me, most of the time when I'm looking for matchups for the playoffs, I'm looking at defenses because you really don't know which defenses are going to be good or bad at the start of the season. You got an idea, you got a guess, but it's pretty often that that guess is wrong. Same with the offenses. I mean, just think about the Colts. We went into the season thinking that they were going to be the worst team in the NFL, and they come around and have one of the most efficient offenses in the history of football. So there's some of that, but I kind of agree with you. The closer we get to mid to late season, the more we know. But one thing I'm also thinking about is playing keep away a little bit. So this is something that comes much more into play when you actually get into the playoffs. But for example, if you are in a crucial matchup, like say, you know, in week 14, you're projected to be like 5-6 it'd be like 6-7 and 500 is going to be good enough to get you into the playoffs. And the team you're playing against, you know, they have a week 14 bye, which is crazy that we have week 14 byes right now, but we do. And maybe you're looking for a quarterback there to deny that other team the ability to have that player. that is something that I think about. Same thing with, like, if you see another team has left a handcuff sitting on the bench, or sitting on the floor, rather, on waivers. I'd totally look at picking up those guys just to deny them in case that they get into worse situations. So it's something that I think plays more into once you actually get into the playoffs, but it's something that I'm starting to think of now. So that is something we're thinking about, but just keep it in the back of your mind as we go forward. So as we get into our breakdowns here, our buys this week, we got four teams. They are the Bengals, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and the Titans. So if you have Ja'Marr Chase, Chase Brown, T. Higgins, Javonte Williams, Dak Prescott, Jake Ferguson, George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, Patrick Mahomes, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce, Tony Pollard, or I guess Joe Flacco if you're a crazy person, but actually kind of a smart crazy person, those players are not available to you this week. We're going to talk about the ones who are. So I have our starter this week. I have our first game for Thursday Night Football. We have the Las Vegas Raiders traveling to Mile High to play the Denver Broncos. As the Raiders are just terrible, the Broncos are 9.5-point favorites. Now, despite the Raiders being just terrible, you did have at least a couple big things to talk about for them. One, Brock Bowers and his huge return from injury, getting three touchdowns and over 40 PPR points. Welcome back to the auto starts, Brock Bowers. The big piece of news today is wide receiver Jacoby Myers has been traded to the Jaguars. His usage has been slowing down as the year goes on. Not that there's much of an offense to use him in, but he is now in that injury-riddled Jaguars wide receiver room. Probably a, I don't know, would you say that's a good move for him, Stu?
I think it's pretty neutral, but he, I mean, you're going from a bad team to a slightly better team. It's got a winning record at least, but I think it, for fantasy-wise, it's pretty neutral for him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that you can say the situation isn't better, but I think the guy, I want to say this benefits Trey Tucker. He has been borderline usable at parts of the season. I was going to say before I saw the Jacoby Myers trade went through that I was going to give you permission to drop Trey Tucker if you had him. But now I'm going to say hold. Not that I think Geno Smith is going to be able to pepper him with targets now. Just I want to see what happens. Not that we're going to see a whole lot against this very good Broncos pass defense, but Trey Tucker becomes a little bit more interesting to me. And, of course, we got Ashton Jeanty. Ball's got to go somewhere, and he has been making a lot more use of his carries over the last few weeks. Going over to Denver, Bo Nix, start him. He's the QB5 currently. Don't overthink it. Just start him. Same with J.K. Dobbins. He's an RB2. I know he's up and down. I know he's not always the running back you want him to be, but I think that you just, when you're playing the Raiders, you give your guys the ball and let them run with it. Which brings me to RJ Harvey. His role is growing. Statistically, he is increasing his touches, but mostly through the air. That's where he's making most of his hay. Stu, I'll ask you another question. This week, are you starting RJ Harvey?
I feel targeted in this regard. I am currently starting RJ Harvey. I am not excited to do it, but if he can score a touchdown, which he has been doing at a decent rate, all those J.K. Dobbins owners can seethe a little bit, but he's scoring touchdowns, and if he scores a touchdown on Thursday, he'll be a reasonable start, but it's going to be high risk, low ceiling sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And for the rest of the Broncos here, I'm just saying don't overthink it. Cortland Sutton, I know he's not always the guy you want him to be. He's currently the wide receiver 14. Don't overthink it. Start him. Troy Franklin, I think he's a flex this week with wide receiver 2 upside. If you have to start him and don't have anybody better, start him. Drop Marvin Mims, drop Evan Engram. Stu, take us to Berlin.
Yes, all the way over to Berlin. We've got the Falcons and the Colts. The line currently, the Colts are 6.5-point favorites with an over-under of 48.5. So the European games are always kind of a crapshoot. There's really no home team, no home team advantage. So
emphasis
I'm going to start
on the crap in the crapshoot.
Yeah. Oh, the crepes? Or that is that French more? Anyway.
I think that's great.
So
French.
The Colts, we thought that Steelers game was going to go a little bit differently. We thought it was going to be high offense, but the Steelers defense showed up to play. Daniel Jones had 5 or 6 turnovers. Yeah, it was a yucky one for sure. I think it's still business as usual until the Colts are stringing together huge swaths of the season with poor production. We just rinse that one off, you know, get back in our lineups with Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman Jr., Daniel Jones, all pretty easy starts. I think you could start Alec Pierce this week. He's been doing more and more, and one thing we want to note about the trade deadline, not that he had a huge role after his mistakes, but Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell, was part of the Sauce Gardner trade, so A.D. Mitchell is now out of town. The only downfield threat now on this roster is Alec Pierce, as it should be. He's been playing really well this season. I think you can start him this week before the bye. So if you need a little something, you're a Jamar Chase owner, you could look there, and I don't think you'll be too disappointed overall. On the flip side, we've got the Falcons, and what a game Drake London had. Of course, he's starting for you. I just want to give him a little shout-out. He was scoring touchdowns at a prodigious rate, so definitely want to have him in your lineups, too. Bijan Robinson, also an automatic start. 8 receptions for 50 yards last week. Great floor there, even if he was kind of a pedestrian, 12 for 46 on the ground. I say pedestrian, that's an average of 3.8, but it's pedestrian for Bijan. You expect, you know, higher ceilings than that for the most part. Darnell Mooney, now finally healthy. I think we can dispense with his little experimentation. If you're holding him, I don't think it's ever going to happen for him outside of a Drake London injury, so you can go ahead and drop him. Tyler Algier is still somebody that we want to be rostered as a solid handcuff, but only if Bijan goes down are we going to start him. Michael Penix finds the bench or the waiver wire still, even if he did have a great week against New England. And then Kyle Pitts, an underwhelming startable option overall. I think if you're desperate, you can, but he's sitting just outside of the top 12 tight ends there, James, and it's probably just where he's going to stay for the rest of the season. He's not a really high ceiling option, but someone that can fill in if you so need it. And we're going to go ahead and move on the other flip side of the Sauce Gardner trade. Why don't you take us for the Jets and the Browns?
All right, to New Jersey. We go to the first noon game for the Cleveland Browns traveling to face the New York Jets. The Jets are 1.5 favorite in this one. It's a pick 'em. I actually kind of like the Browns to win this one. But let's start with the Browns here. Quinshon Judkins, we saw him leave early in his last game before the bye. I believe he is officially questionable, but they are expecting him to be available for Sunday. So if Quinshon Judkins is healthy, he's a must start, especially with the Jets kind of offloading a lot of their defensive talent today, including Sauce Gardner. Now, with those other running backs on the Browns, Jerome Ford, Dylan Sampson, I still don't think they're startable regardless of Q Judd's availability. We saw kind of in the second half of that Browns game 2 weeks ago that, yes, they were there, but they didn't really get a whole lot of reliable action. So just Quinshon Judkins for me, thank you. Wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman. There are no usable Cleveland wide receivers right now. The exception would be for tight ends, and that is really only if you're kind of desperate. Harold Fannin has actually been much more useful than we've expected, and I think Fannin this week may be a solid start for you. David Njoku, probably less so. He's been incredibly unpredictable, I would say. He's obviously talented, but hasn't been able to get much momentum going in his favor. And Dylan Gabriel is obviously just bad. Exists to give Stu fear.
Hope. He is my shining light. I don't know what you're talking about.
the shining light in hopes that Shedeur Sanders doesn't get to play football this year.
Yes, and, not because I'm a hater, but because I would like to win our bet. Yes.
Of the bet. And I'm sure you can all hear Andy the dog in the background. He's upset about something, but we're focused on just upsetting football teams like the New York Jets. Justin Fields, another player, another quarterback who's just bad. The coaching staff after last week's game has been non-committal on who their starting quarterback would be, so we may see Tyrod Taylor again. But either way, I'm not sure it makes a ton of a difference. Whoever gets in is just going to try to pepper Garrett Wilson as much as they can, if Garrett Wilson is healthy. He is, I believe, expected to be back this week, but we got to kind of wait until further practices to see what happens. He is at the very least expected to practice, so we should know what happens during practices. Breece Hall is coming off a massive week 9, currently sitting at the RB16. I'd say there's probably another good one loading, but that also kind of depends on game script. Breece Hall has been somebody who has been unreliable, and I mean, you get weeks like this past week to a lot of people who probably had already given up on him and didn't even start him. Yeah, you had bye weeks to contend with, but there's a good chance that if you had Breece Hall, you might have already chosen to take him out of your starting lineup. So I'm not saying I fully trust Breece Hall to go off again, but if you got to start him, this is a good week to do it. Mason Taylor has performed well against bad defenses most of the season. I am not going to give Mason Taylor a vote of confidence at the tight end position. And Adonai Mitchell, just traded from the Colts. I shouldn't have to tell you not to start him. I'm sure that there's some people out there who went and picked him up on waivers. I'm not sure why, but yeah, don't do that. Stu, take us to Carolina.
Yeah, the Jets are bad, and Adonai Mitchell might very well be their second best wide receiver already, but they're just bad. Yes, so we've got the Saints and the Panthers, I think, up next. So Saints and Tyler Shuck visiting Carolina. We've got 5.5-point home favorites for Carolina with an over-under of 39.5. So let's start with the visiting Saints, because this is an easy conversation. It wasn't very good last week against the Rams. The Rams are a decent, pretty decent, better than decent. You know what? They're a good I'm just kidding. They're good on defense. And Carolina is not exactly what I would call a slouch. I mean, they're winning games. So I do expect the Carolina Panthers to win this game. But are we going to be able to start anybody on the Saints in fantasy? Let's just run down the list. Tyler Shuck? No. Alvin Kamara, who's coming off 3 straight weeks of poor games and was in the negatives last week. 1 reception for 3 yards, 6 rushes for 14 yards. If he can find a way to bench him, just kind of, you know, drink that bitter drink that you took him in the drafts. He just straight inefficiency. It's not great, but you don't want him in your lineup until this offense can get a little more. If they're going to get better under Tyler Shuck, they're going to need some time. We do have the wide receivers, Chris Olave, who in a very deep emergency can be a start, but I would really prefer to not start anybody from New Orleans this week. Juwan Johnson did catch the lone touchdown against the Rams, but on only 4 targets and 3 receptions for 31, that would be a pretty poor day overall if he did not fall into the end zone. Rashid Shaheed, however, the wide receiver 2 there in New Orleans, is free. He gets to go to a better team. He got traded to Seattle. We'll talk about the Seahawks a little bit later. So, leaving the Saints, we get to talk about the Carolina Panthers. And always I want to start with the running back room because it is so fun to talk about. It's so fun to watch. They finally decided that Rico Dowdle was the guy. You can't argue with that efficiency, and they gave him the lion's share of the work. 25 carries against a Green Bay defense that is not bad, and he ran for 130 yards, did score twice. If he's healthy, you want him in your lineups, of course, and you want Chuba Hubbard not. But I don't know if anybody was watching the game, but Rico Dowdle definitely hurt his groin. And multiple times through the game, he's grabbing at it, he's grimacing, he's groaning in pain. You kind of look at it, you think, oh, this guy's going to come out of the game, he might be missing some time, Chuba Hubbard to the moon, that sort of stuff. And then Dowdle would come back in and score a touchdown. So it's something to monitor throughout the week. If Dowdle starts, only Dowdle should be in your lineups. If Dowdle is out, then Chuba Hubbard is fine to continue starting, but only in that situation. For the pass catchers, Teteroa McMillan, not a great week against Green Bay, but against a much softer New Orleans defense, I think he can be a start, just a slightly underwhelming one. He hasn't really taken off in the back part of the season as of yet as a rookie wide receiver. We'll have to see maybe towards the playoff time if that's going to happen, because he gets New Orleans in round one, if you want to start planning for playoffs there, James. Bryce Young, not a start. Xavier Leggett, not a start. Jalen Coker, welcome back. He's healthy and playing. He's inefficient and not considerable for fantasy purposes, James. Next up, we've got the Dolphins versus the Bills. What a slaughter that'll be.
All right. So down to sunny Miami for a noon game between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. The Bills this week are 9.5-point favorites, which I think they could very well cover. The Bills surprised me last week, manhandling the Kansas City Chiefs. I was expecting it to be a little bit more of an even game than it was, but the Bills just looked far and away the better team, and I expect them to ride that into this week, where I think they will, trying to think of a word that is appropriate for all audiences for what they're going to do to the Dolphins, but it's going to be bad. Josh Allen is obviously an auto start. James Cook, must start. He should go off. I think he's one of the most exciting running back prospects for this week, period. Dalton Kincaid had a big game against Kansas City. I like him again this week. Khalil Shakir, his role is increasing. I think he's safe in the flex position this week. And if you are looking for permission to drop a Bills receiver, I am giving you permission to drop Keon Coleman. I don't think you're going to see any kind of reliable production out of him going forward. Not that he won't have games where he goes off, but you have my permission to let him go. Moving over to the other side, the only player, well, there's a couple players you probably want to start. Devon Achane obviously is the running back three. He is a must start in all formats all over as long as he is healthy. Ollie Gordon is not a guy. You don't want him. At receiver, Jalen Waddle, he's the only other Dolphin you're even going to consider. I would like to start him as a wide receiver two if I can. He is the wide receiver 12 right now, but again, they're going up against a pretty tough defense in the Buffalo Bills. Can't really expect wide receiver one numbers out of them this week. Tua, just don't. And there's no tight ends you need to consider there. Stu, take us to an AFC South matchup in Houston.
Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars' new proud players of Jacoby Myers are visiting the Houston Texans. Let's go ahead and talk about the line. We've got a pretty close one here. 1.5-point favorites for the Texans at home with a 37.5 over under. So looking to be more of a defensively minded game. The Texans did just play Denver last week, and that was a field goal contest if I ever saw one. There's some really, really poor red zone efficiency, especially on the part of Houston. I don't know if you guys know this, but Kaimi Fairbairn, he's had 10 field goal attempts in the last 2 weeks. He is now the kicker 3 on the season. So if he's just like sitting out there in free agency, he's rostered in 37.5% of ESPN leagues. That should be higher. So go get him if you care to do that. He's already passed his bye, so that's helpful too. For the rest of the Texans, the running back stable, Woody Marks and Nick Chubb, those are both sits and or drops. I personally don't want anything to do with Nick Chubb at this point of the season and his career. We've seen what he has, and it's not anything exciting. He'll just be a bench clog if we keep him around. Woody Marks has blown up a couple times, but I mean, if you want to hold him, fine, but the Texans' rushing attack is nothing that we need to be really considering. The passing attack is also not fantastic, but the biggest story here is that C.J. Stroud was knocked out of the game last week with a concussion. He slid, took a late hit, and bounced his head off the turf, and then Davis Mills came in just in time to throw 30 passes. So if C.J. Stroud is out there, you know, awesome. He's not fantastic, but you can be a little more confident in your Nico Collins starts. You could even throw in a Christian Kirk or Jaden Higgins. Probably not Jaden Higgins, but the Jacksonville defense is a little softer than what they faced last week, so you can be a little more confident in Collins and Kirk if CJ is starting. If Davis is starting, I don't know how you would feel confident about any of these Houston Texans starting, but you probably need to find a way to find Nico Collins into your lineup. I hate him. I have him on my team. It's so frustrating. But on the flip side, we got to talk about another second-round wide receiver target in drafts that is horribly disappointing. Brian Thomas Jr. knocked out of last week's game. He sat out of overtime in that game against Las Vegas with a low ankle sprain. Currently being reported that he's going to try to play through it. But I don't know about you, James. I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on. I think he's hurt. I think he's been playing this whole season hurt because he's just bad. It's bad. It's not good.
I mean, if not starting, physically hurt, then his pride is probably hurt.
I hope it is. Maybe it'll make him play better. But if you want to find him in your lineups, I wouldn't envy you. I'd love to stash him on my bench, but, you know, he was your second-round draft pick. You probably don't have that much more on your team. Travis Etienne Jr. is probably still a start, but I would temper expectations against a Houston front that did limit J.K. Dobbins last week pretty well. They limited R.J. Harvey too, but R.J. got free for a touchdown, and that's why his day looked better. Bashaul Tuten managed to vulture a touchdown last week, which made him look pretty good fantasy-wise, but overall, even in a game that went to overtime, only 10 opportunities, not anything that we need to consider. Then we got the new pass catcher, Jacoby Myers, coming in. He's going to mostly, I think, take away from Parker Washington. Parker Washington ended up getting 9 targets in last week's overtime game, and mostly because Brian Thomas Jr. was out. Parker, he was probably popular on waiver wire shows over the course of today. I'm not super interested in him anymore now that Jacoby's here, but it's hard to predict exactly how much Jacoby will be involved, what kind of routes he'll be running, and what sort of attention he's going to get from Trevor Lawrence. By the way, Trevor Lawrence, outside of the top 12 quarterbacks, and definitely not somebody you want to be starting against a very competent Houston defense there, James. Gross one there in the AFC South. How about we talk about Vikings-Ravens?
All right. To Minnesota we go, where the Baltimore Ravens are 4.5-point favorites over the Minnesota Vikings. I feel like a common theme with a lot of my breakdowns this week are don't overthink it. And that is very much what I'm going to be saying about both of these teams. Don't overthink any of this. Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. There were people who had him back and healthy last week who didn't start him because they weren't sure if his brain was screwed in correctly because of what they saw with him early in the season. Don't overthink it. It's Lamar Jackson. Start him. Derrick Henry, don't overthink it. He is the RB19. Yes, he's not scoring 30 points a game like you saw him do last year, but he's still an RB1 caliber player. He's just performing as the RB19. Don't overthink it. Start Derrick Henry. Zay Flowers, he's probably right around where you expected him to be as the wide receiver 24. Again, don't overthink it. He's probably a flex going forward. You can put him there if you can or have to. And then there's the tight end position. I'm also going to say don't overthink that. Mark Andrews is useful anytime he scores, but when he doesn't score, he's not really worth much of anything. Isaiah Likely, we've seen increases in targets every week since he returned from injury, but that doesn't necessarily mean that those targets are useful targets, and the numbers for his production haven't ticked up that much either. So I'm not looking at either Ravens tight end this week, and then hopefully you're not looking at somebody like DeAndre Hopkins or Rashad Bateman. No one else, I think, is really rosterable for the Vikings. Going to Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy is back. He played surprisingly well last week, well enough to get a victory as an underdog. Again, don't overthink it. You know J.J. McCarthy is not that good at football. You know he's not a startable fantasy football quarterback. Don't overthink it. Don't do it. Justin Jefferson, don't overthink it. He's an auto start. He's not the wide receiver one. He is a wide receiver one. He's the wide receiver 11 right now. Don't overthink it. Start Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison, I think this was the first week since he's come back from suspension that he hasn't increased his targets. He did get reduced targets and wasn't as productive as we thought he might be last week, but I still like him as a flex this week. TJ Hockenson, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. TJ Hockenson's duck is a droppable tight end. Don't be precious about it. I know you probably thought he was going to be top 10 tight end this year. He's probably not. You can drop TJ Hockenson. The one thing that we kind of want to look at is the running backs. Aaron Jones came back last week. He didn't blow anybody's doors off, but he was considerably more productive than Jordan Mason. I would approach Aaron Jones with an abundance of caution this week. I'm not really looking to start him. I know that if I absolutely have to, 10 points is probably somewhere where I would like him to get to, but I'm not expecting him to do a whole lot more than that. If I have better options, I will start those options, but Aaron Jones, approach with caution. Jordan Mason, approach with not approaching at all. Stu, take us to Tampa.
Yes, so we've got the New England Patriots visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fresh off of their bye. The line for this game is 2.5-point home favorites for the Buccaneers with an over-under of 48.5. So looking pretty good for this game. Should be a fun one. Let's go ahead and talk about the Patriots. Drake May, a quarterback one, currently quarterback four, having a monstrous season, even if he did have a little bit of a down week last week in the fantasy department. He definitely deserves a continued start and continued trust on your fantasy rosters. His pass catcher, Stephon Diggs, needs to make his way into your lineup. He's got two straight weeks of scores, which is awesome. We also have Pop Douglas, who does periodically get away for a touchdown. He's not really rosterable or startable at this point. It's just kind of fun to watch him catch those deep passes from Drake May. One to pay attention to is Kayshon Boutte. So Kayshon Boutte, the other wide receiver there, is probably going to be out with a hamstring issue as they prepare to go to Tampa Bay. So it does give a little bump to both the Pop Douglases and the Stephon Diggs of the Patriots, and it still doesn't change my opinion too much as far as who I want to start and who I want to roster. We also want to pay attention to the health of Ramondre Stevenson, who was out last week for a toe issue. It's a little vague about, is he going to miss time? Is he going to miss this week? So again, keep your eye on it. But there was a lot of talk that I heard personally about Tony Pollard going to the Patriots in a deadline deal. Of course, that did not happen. But does that mean Ramondre Stevenson is maybe a little more hurt than people let on? Or is Dr. Stu just wishful thinking because he's a Travion Henderson drafter? And Travion, God, please, you need to be relevant. Look, this Tampa Bay defense is not one you want to run on. So no matter who is out there, Ramondre, Travion, or now the new guy in town, Terrell Jennings, who scored last week on the goal line, 3-yard line, technically not the goal line, whatever. I'm not really thrilled about starting any of them. If you can get them on your bench, get them on your bench. Terrell is probably not even rosterable at this point. For the tight ends, Hunter Henry continues to just be Kyle Pitts, but with one blow-up week, so start him if you want to. It will be low ceiling sort of stuff. On the flip side, we've got Tampa Bay. This is just the theme of this matchup, is kind of wait and see for injuries, because we've got Bucky Irving, who's been out for now a month and a half. If he is going to play now that they're coming out of their bye, he goes right back in your lineup. But if he is out, Rashad White can be a start if he is an underwhelming start. So want to be sure and watch if Bucky Irving is finally going to make his long-anticipated return to the field. We're also keeping an eye on Emeka Egbuka. He did have a leg injury before the bye. A little bit of down production after a really, really hot start, but he's going to be in your lineups, I think, as a wide receiver one this week. He should do very, very well against this team. Chris Godwin is week to week still with a lower leg injury, which is different than his surgery that knocked him out of the 2024 season. He, if he's rostered, should not be starting, even if he is active for this game. Mike Evans is still on IR, but targeting a very late in the year return. Tight end Kate Otten, not considerable at this point. And Baker Mayfield, a couple of rough weeks there leading into the bye, but this should be a good opportunity for a get-right game against a softer team in the Patriots before they go play Buffalo and Los Angeles on the road. So I'd say get him back in your lineups, but I'd understand if you have a different streaming option that you like a little bit better there. James, you are next to take us into the Bears and Giants.
All right. To the Windy City we go, as I'm sure you all heard Indy barking again. It's funny. I can just, when I hear him barking, I can hold out my hand, and from the other side of the house, he will run and hand me a squeaky hot dog. So I now have a squeaky hot dog, and talking about a city known for its hot dogs. But first, we go to the Giants, who are 3.5-point underdogs in this. I kind of like the Giants for this one. Jackson Dart has been on a tear since taking over the starting job. I think he is getting close to auto start territory. I'm not sure if he is, but I like him a lot. He finds ways to make things happen despite injuries mounting in his big tools that he has. No more Cam Scadabo, obviously. But for those other running backs, we expected with Cam Scadabo going down that Tyrone Tracy would become the lead back and would put up similar production like we saw him last year when he became the lead back as well. That didn't happen. Devin Singletary got a little bit more action than we expected him to. Ultimately, I think that I don't really like either of these guys. I think that Cam Scadabo's production was purely based on the fact that he was a superior player to either of these guys. I don't want to be in a position where I have to start Tyrone Tracy or Devin Singletary, but I'm also not going to dismiss them out of hand. I see the voided touches that Cam Scadabo left, and I see the potential for production, and you look for guys who have the clearest path to production. And I still think Tyrone Tracy has that path. I'm just not excited about it. So Tyrone Tracy becomes a stash. Devin Singletary, I don't really see it. I don't like either, but we're going to wait and see. Wandell Robinson, very start. Very start wide receiver two. And that is what I wrote in my notes, very start. And Darius Slayton is on the Giants. Should not be on your team, I don't think. Theo Johnson, however, the tight end position, he's becoming more and more usable. I'm not sure that he's got a matchup this week that I'm jazzed about, but we've talked about Theo Johnson before in previous episodes. I think he's becoming a more and more viable option, getting close to potentially being a weekly start. But if you can avoid him this week, it might be a good idea to just continue checking in on him. Moving over to Chicago, Caleb Williams, this should be a good test to see if this development we're seeing him take is for real. So he's currently the QB10. He's coming off of what I think is probably his best fantasy football performance in his career. And I'd like to see what he does to follow that up. Caleb Williams is a start for me this week. I'm excited to see what he does. DeAndre Swift, before last week, I had been talking about DeAndre Swift's production getting me excited about Kyle Manungai as a must handcuff guy. And last week, we had a surprise injury to DeAndre Swift, took him out, and he didn't play, so surprise injury designation. And I was proven absolutely right. Kyle Manungai had 22 PPR points last week as a fill-in and was fantastic. DeAndre Swift was supposed to be back this week. He's a must-start when he's healthy, which I think reverts Kyle Manungai to his old role. But it's a proof of concept. Kyle Manungai is a must-handcuff. Get him on your rosters. Get him on your bench. And wait. And just see what happens. The wide receivers. This is one where I think I am going to overthink it a little bit. So, Stu, I got some questions for you here as well. Roman Dunze. He went from being the lead receiver in this offense to literally nothing. Did not catch a ball. He went from a must-start to, I think, just a stash. I know that's an extreme overreaction, but Stu, am I overthinking it? And what are we doing with DJ Moore?
What, DJ Moore or Rome? Because you said Rome at first.
Both.
Both? Oh, God. Yeah. I don't ever want to start DJ Moore. I'm just happy that he's not on my team. If he can string it together, awesome. But he's still doing it on, you know, six targets. Is pedestrian numbers. I'm glad that he found his way into the end zone. He was the one that threw for it, I think, right? To Caleb. So that's not something you can really hang your hat on. DJ Moore is still a bench target or an emergency, you know, bye week kind of fill in. Rome, oh God, man. Matchup dependent, I suppose. I would say against the Giants, we can absolutely do it, but I'd be benching him against Minnesota and probably Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, maybe even against Green Bay, maybe against Cleveland. Oh God, their schedule sucks, dude. Their next soft defense is week 17. Oh, geez.
I'll get you anyway. For the championship.
Yeah, if you can make it that far. Yeah, matchup dependent. I'm totally cool with treating it like that. If he does string together a good Giants game, a good Vikings game, then we can start him each week again, I think. But for right now, matchup dependent for me. It sucks because we were really, really excited, and for a game that was so high offense, for him to go zero receptions on three targets is incredibly disheartening and worthy of, you know, some scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. So maybe I am overthinking it, maybe I'm not, but Stu, you seem to kind of be in agreement with me here. But another check-in on the rookie. Last time I was talking about the Bears, I talked about checking in on Colston Loveland's development. We're going to check in on him again. Last time we checked in on him, he was the tight end 50. Now he's the tight end 30. And he is getting an increased number of targets, again, increasing every week over, I think, the past 5 weeks. And he had a breakout game last week. I think he's ready for us to maybe take a waiver on him. Not start. Do not start Colston Loveland. Do not take that from what I'm saying. I'm saying if you got an open roster spot and you want to experiment with sprinkling a little Colston Loveland in there, go ahead and give it a shot. I think he's ready to roster. I don't think he's worth taking a waiver pick or anything. I think after free agency opens up on Wednesday, see what you can get out of him. I kind of like him to keep growing here. And Stu, take us to the first of our afternoon starts.
Yes, so we've got the Cardinals, I believe, visiting Seattle. This should be a fun one. The Cardinals just, you know, was it an upset? Was it an upset on Monday? I mean, we didn't expect the Cardinals to win, I don't think, but they did really, really well against the Cowboys, so good for them. Now they get to face a sterner contest, I believe, on the road there going to Seattle. So on the Cardinals side, the quarterback controversy, or whatever you want to call it, Kyler Murray has been nursing a foot issue. And then Jacoby Brissett, the backup, comes in and is immediately just night and day better for this offense, better for the fantasy assets that we are concerned about, and they start winning games. So I don't know if Kyler Murray's foot is going to start hurting a little bit more, or they're just going to straight bench him. But they announced that he's not starting this week. And then I think I saw a report not even an hour ago that he might be out for several weeks. It's just unclear, but for right now, Jacoby Brissett is the starter. You know, he could very well be a decent startable asset in some matchups. Definitely not this one. I don't want to start him in Seattle. I do San Francisco and Jacksonville in weeks 11 to 12, maybe. But this week, Jacoby Brissett can stay on the free agency, room. Trey McBride is an automatic start. He's catching touchdowns, finally, thank God. Marvin Harrison Jr. had the most receptions of his career with 7, and he caught a score. Double-digit targets for only the second time this season. Amazing. This is great. Let's see more of it. Bam Knight was a popular add and start over the last week because they were going up against Dallas. He had himself not a very good game, so I don't really want to be playing any of the running backs in Arizona. We do have to pay attention to Trey Benson, who continues to inch hopefully closer and closer to a return. But again, we're dealing with Trey Benson coming back as the backup from the beginning of the year to James Conner. So we're way down the depth chart right here. I don't really want to start any of these guys, Michael Carter, Bam Knight, or Amari DiMarcado, who did get 14 attempts last week. It wasn't too bad, but I still don't want to start him against Seattle. On the flip side, we've got Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver one start, week in, week out. He is incredible. James, that might have been your hardest hit of the draft, pre-draft kind of talk, was your belief in JSN. Mm-hmm. We do have the new hire, Rashid Shaheed. He can be a stash, but he's not going to be a start this week. Cooper Kupp, I think personally, can be a drop, but I thought he could be a drop from like a month and a half ago. Sam Darnold was accurate as all get out against the Washington Commanders, and I don't expect it to be, you know, better against Arizona, but it should still be good. If you need to start Sam Darnold, I think this is a decent week to do so at home against a slightly weaker defense overall across the league. It's the running backs that I just can't get behind them. Neither one, I think, are super confident starts. They, you know, keep each other fresh. If I wanted to start somebody, it's Kenneth Walker, but it seems Zach Charbonnet keeps falling into the end zone, though he didn't do that against Washington, of course. But neither one are starts that I could really be super jazzed about, as you said there, James. Can you take us? I think next up is the aforementioned Commanders and the Lions.
To Washington we go, where the Detroit Lions are 8.5-point favorites over the just injury-decimated Washington Commanders. Starting with the Lions, Jared Goff is a matchup-dependent start. This is a matchup to start. I like Jared Goff this week. To Jahmyr Gibbs, once again, the theme of this week is don't overthink it. He had a bad week last week, but don't overthink it. Start Jahmyr Gibbs. David Montgomery. We're going to think a little bit harder about him, though. I think going forward, he showed us that his ceiling is just too low for us to trust consistently. He's currently sitting at the RB23, and a lot of the games that are lifting him higher were like two games. So I don't think that we're going to be starting David Montgomery anymore, unless something happens to Jahmyr Gibbs. So keep David Montgomery on your roster. He's not starting for you anymore. At the wide receiver position, Amon-Ra St. Brown is obviously an auto start. He's sitting as the wide receiver three. He's having a great season. Then there's Jameson Williams, who, despite what you might think about him, he is a not a potent downfield threat, but he is a downfield threat, but not one with enough consistency to trust. He's somebody whose ceiling is whatever massive yardage he can get with the touchdown, and his floor is zero. So I don't think you're starting Jameson Williams anymore. I think that he is probably somebody who, if you need a spot, is droppable, and probably is droppable even if you don't. Sam Laporta, however, sitting as the tight end seven, has become a really strong tight end option. I think he's a must start this week and going forward as well. Moving over to the Commanders. Jaden Daniels goes down again, this time with, I believe, dislocated elbow was what we heard. He's out until at the very least mid-December. I would be surprised to see him again. Back in goes Marcus Mariota, and I don't feel like I have to tell you this, but don't bother with that. That also throws Deebo Samuel in there. I think we have to pause on Deebo Samuel, because with Marcus Mariota, his production has begun to swiftly decline. I am not going to be giving Deebo my seal of approval. Stu, I know you have a history with Deebo. What are you feeling on him? Are you also in a bench Deebo Samuel?
I'm out on the Washington Commanders. I can just flatly say that. Basically, I don't expect... Honestly, I was hoping that I would get this game, because I'm going to tell people, just drop Terry. Just do it. Just get ahead of it. Just drop him.
Stu giving you the permission this time. It's so weird. Like, I want to trust these guys. I want to trust Terry McLaurin, but obviously you can't. Obviously, Bill is not startable. He might even be droppable. Zach Ertz had a good start to the season, and he is the tight end 14, but I pause with it. And even with if all of the things telling us that this team is bad, they are too injured to perform, something is not right here, it still gives me pause. Stop pausing and just don't use them. I think that's where we should probably sit on the Commanders. Wholesale, dump them. Dump them? Is that what we're saying? Dump them?
Kind of. I support it. Dump them? I don't know if you want to drop Deebo, but you're not starting Deebo.
Mm-hmm. All right. This talking about the Commanders disgusts me. Stu, go to San Francisco.
Yeah, easy one. So we've got San Francisco and the Rams. The Rams visiting, of course. Let's go ahead and start with the Rams, because that is like the easiest conversation ever. I swear, whenever I get the Rams, I say the same things. Matthew Stafford is a start. He's a quarterback one across the year. They're now playing against a division rival. Should be very fun. The only thing that we question outside of saying start Devontae Adams and Kyron Williams is the health of Puka Nacua, who was knocked out, I think, with a rib injury, but they are optimistic that he won't miss time. So if he's playing, you need to play him because he's Puka Nacua, but again, pay attention to these sorts of things. Blake Corum is another name that we need to be aware of. The Rams keep blowing people out, and Blake Corum gets a lot of attention, but he still remains a very competent backup and handcuffed to Kyron Williams. So that's somebody that you need to be at least aware of and paying attention to. If you have, you know, a mind to get some handcuffs on the end of your bench, he is one that you can settle into. On the flip side, the 49ers, if you are not starting Christian McCaffrey, I don't know what to tell you. George Kittle, I'm really just praying Brock Purdy comes back and unlocks George Kittle, because it's been quite underwhelming with Mac Jones. You can start Kittle because he is always that threat to score, and he's just an excellent player overall, but it's been pretty down with Mac Jones outside of one touchdown. Juwan Jennings did find the end zone last week. He is, you know, outside of Kendrick Bourne, the wide receiver room, since Pearsall is still out. He has a chance to play against the Rams, but we will be evaluated in the middle of the week. I'm not going to hold my breath because Ricky Pearsall has been out since week four. Juwan Jennings can start. Kendrick Bourne, not a start. The last name I want to throw out there is Brian Robinson Jr. another one of those handcuff situations, but had himself a very good week fantasy-wise. Not too many opportunities, but had a very good per-touch efficiency rate and is someone that you need to be aware of because, I mean, CMC, knock on wood, has been very healthy this year, but if he goes down, now B-Rob is going to be the main beneficiary in a Shanahan offense that always seems to get the good stuff out of the running backs. James, pretty easy one, quick one for me. Next up, I think we've got the Chargers and Steelers.
Yep, and it looks like this is my last one for this week. On Sunday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Los Angeles to face the Chargers, who are 3-point favorites in this one. Starting with the Steelers, the quarterback Aaron Rodgers remains a matchup-based streamer, I think not this week. This Chargers defense probably is going to be a bit much for old man Rodgers, but we shall see. His targets here, not a lot of consistency to speak of. DK Metcalf is one of those guys who, when he's good, he's great, and when he's bad, he's unstartable. I think DK Metcalf, for me, is a flex this week. He is sitting at the wide receiver 25, which those as-they-run rankings are a little bit misleading. You know, as buys are calculated in and injured weeks and just off weeks in general, they don't account for outliers, they don't account for things like that. So you can't always treat them as the be-all, end-all, but honestly, wide receiver 25 is kind of where I'm looking at DK Metcalf anyway. So that's I'm skeptical in all things Steelers this week. I'm not looking at any other Steelers receivers. I'm not looking at Jonnu Smith. But we got to talk about the running backs because it has kind of been the story since both have been healthy together that Jaylen Warren has been the running back and Kenneth Gainwell has been the receiving back. And Jaylen Warren has been honestly a really good option when the Steelers get into positive game script. For those of you who don't know what positive game script, they have the lead and are running a lot. When they don't have positive game script, Jaylen Warren hasn't been much of anything, and Kenneth Gainwell has gotten a little bit of a boost then because they're passing more when they're behind, and Kenneth Gainwell is more of the receiving back. As it's gone lately, Jaylen Warren has gotten more of the work, and Kenneth Gainwell, there really hasn't been enough to make him useful. I definitely don't think that the Steelers are going to be playing with a lead in this one, but I don't think they're going to be like getting blown out. They certainly could, but I just don't like either of these guys this week if I can avoid it. Then going to the Chargers, Justin Herbert has become an auto start for, I think, the rest of the season. He's sitting at the QB3. Stu, I know you're thrilled about that one. But, yeah, Justin Herbert has had a really good season, and I expect that to continue. His passing options, however, remain kind of difficult to predict. I think that the one you want to have is probably Ladd McConkey. He has, since his really slow start, has become the lead receiver in this offense, and he is the guy to have. The other guy to have is going to be Aronde Gadsden, the tight end. I think he has become a must-start with four straight double-digit weeks and a touchdown in two of his last 4 weeks. Never in those last 4 weeks getting fewer than five targets. And in his last two, he's gotten 5 of 5 for both. So Aronde Gadsden, he's definitely no longer available on waivers like he was when you first heard his name, but he's a must start going forward. Those other receivers, though, Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnston have become pretty difficult to predict. Quentin Johnston, I am looking at him as a flex. I think that if I can get him out of my lineup, hopefully with someone who actually has a little bit of production, I will. But if you were starting Quentin Johnston a lot, I'm going to guess that your receiver situation is difficult, as it's fantasy football. We're all struggling. I kind of want to avoid him. And I'm sitting Keenan Allen wholesale here until we see something different. Then moving over to the running back position, it's been injury after injury, but Kamani Vidal has kind of settled into the lead back role. Things got weird with the Chargers running backs this past week. Kamani Vidal, he had a weird game in terms of game script. I'm chalking that up to the culprit. I still think don't overthink it. If you have to start him, you can feel good about it. The Steelers' defense is good, but he's going to get work. And if you're someone who's still holding on to Omarion Hampton, he gets off IR at the end of November, which is going to make things very weird come playoff time. So I hope you're not putting too many eggs in the Kamani Vidal basket, because you can get the use out of him now as you want. He's not going to be around forever, at least I think. Maybe Omarion Hampton gets shut down for the rest of the year. Maybe he comes back and is splitting it with Kamani Vidal. I don't know. But that's my take on that game. Stu, we got one to go. Take us to Lambeau.
Yes, we've got the Eagles coming off their bye to play the Packers. We've got 2.5-point home favorites for the Packers. I've definitely neglected the lines for my last, like, three games, but this is just what I am at this point.
I think I forgot a few in here, too, but... It's okay.
For the Eagles, basically get most everyone back in your lineups, the Saquons, the Jalen Hurts, the Devontae Smiths as a wide receiver too, Dallas Goddard's for sure. The only mild question is AJ Brown, who was starting to get a little bit better before he had a hamstring issue that forced him out of week 8. They kept him out of the game and then had the bye in week 9, so he has a chance to return here against the Green Bay Packers, but again, you want to be paying attention to it. We don't know if all these people are going to play because it's only Tuesday, everyone. Or at least for us. I mean, you're listening to this probably on Wednesday. For the Packers, we have some sad news. Sad news, James. Tucker Kraft, the tight end one at the time, goes down for the season with a torn ACL, which is a real shame. He's a great player, really fun to watch, great energy on the field. But you're going to need a replacement for you Tucker Kraft owners. And the Packers are feeling it even more because rookie Matthew Golden exited the game last week against Carolina with a shoulder injury. Not that he's fantasy relevant, but we got to kind of revamp how we think about the Green Bay offense and especially the Green Bay pass catchers. Because I think rather than Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson becoming incredible fantasy assets, I think Romeo is a reasonable start candidate and Christian is not. But I think the most benefit will go to Josh Jacobs. They're going to probably have to start leaning on the run a little bit more, and he is more than capable of shouldering that load. He needs to be an auto start from here on in. Jordan Love, who's been getting some love himself as a QB1, is a bench stash if you want, but I personally could see dropping him to waivers. I mean, at this point, James, like the Jacoby Brissett or Jordan Love in the next coming weeks.
I mean, the dumb thing is I'm actually kind of leaning Jacoby Brissett.
That's not even the dumb thing. That's what I was thinking too.
But it's like against every bone in your body that it's like, oh yeah, he's a backup quarterback for Kyler Murray, and like, maybe Kyler Murray was that bad, and Jacoby Brissett is just a good enough game manager that he can use his tools correctly. And Jordan Love is just so inconsistent, despite having some really good options around him, that I think Jordan Love is just not very good. I think he's raised up by what he has around him, and Jacoby Brissett is just a baller.
He's playing well. It's weird to think about, but I agree. I think I have Jacoby over Jordan Love at this point. One other thing that we want to mention is the top tight end in this offense is Luke Musgrave, but I'm not going to be an advocate for Luke Musgrave because he is not Tucker Kraft, and the people that are looking to just get the Green Bay tight end after they lost Kraft are going to be disappointed because he's just very obviously not the same player, not the same person. So I would leave him to my opponents to get. And James, that wraps up Week 10. We're in the double digits now. We're getting to the nitty gritty, but we need to wrap things up, and I want to know what you are drinking tonight.
What am I drinking? Well, I'm glad you asked. I am drinking from Maui Brewing Company, based in Maui, Hawaii. The Big Swell IPA. It is a 6.8% IPA with tropical citrus hops, which burst from this dry-hopped India Pale Ale. Dr. Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Well, I am not drinking it, but I hope to drink it in the coming year. This is the Marshmallow Hanji from Three Floyds Brewing, one of the brews featured on Dark Lord Day. If you guys don't know what Dark Lord Day, and especially if you live in Indiana, look it up. It's in May. It's like a heavy metal festival along with some really excellent beers. It's kind of pricey to get into, but these are beers only released during the festival, and I'm hopeful to do it at least once in my life, even if I'm not a huge heavy metal fan. I am a beer fan, and I've had a couple of those Dark Lord brews before, and they are truly excellent. This is one that I would be highly interested in getting. It is a Russian Imperial Stout, aged in bourbon barrels with vanilla beans. Truly excellent scores across the board on the internet. So one day I hope to sample it there, James.
I think we can make a fantasy foot beer pilgrimage to Dark Lord Day. I've always wanted to try the Dark Lord beer, and I am a heavy metal fan, so I think we'll get there. If not this year, then in the near future. But I'll go ahead and crack my beer in 3, 2, 1. And Stu, give us your closing thoughts, my friend.
Yes, so always reach out to us on our socials. We're on X and Instagram at FantasyFootBeer on both platforms. We also take beer requests at Gmail. So that's FantasyFootBeer@gmail.com. Always want to know what you guys are drinking, what you guys are thinking. If you have start sit questions that are burning and you want our input on them, then let us know. We're always happy to do that, but we will be back talking about the Cowboys again, as much as I don't want to talk about it. Next week for week 11. Good luck to everybody out there. Get those trades in before your respective deadlines. Start thinking about the playoffs. Get those streamers. Get those trades for players that have soft matchups, because we know what we're dealing with at this point. Things could change, but we have a pretty good idea there, James. Why don't you take us home for the evening?
All right. Stu, thanks for another great episode. All of our listeners here, thank you again for choosing us. We appreciate you guys inviting us into your ears. Is that a weird thing to say? I don't know. But thank you. We appreciate it. For all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, for Indy the Dog, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good job.